Luke chapter 16 today. This past Tuesday, we're in a meeting together with a man, a gentleman we had never met before. As we were together, the gentleman was quoting scripture, various scriptures in our conversation, and he quoted a scripture that literally shook me. When he quoted it, I know the scripture, for I've preached from this text where the scripture is found for about 25 years straight on a Sunday morning in the entire month of January. The old building, if you recall, we had a huge banner, a burgundy banner with gold letters. And it said from this text, give an account of thy stewardship. I'd preach for 25 years straight on Sunday morning, all four or all five Sundays in January, on stewardship, on giving. By the way, I'm not preaching on money this morning. But I would do that for 25 years. I'm all for it. And by the way, we had more adults saved in January, on the entire month of January, than any other month of the year. I guess when you get things right financially with God, you get everything else right. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we saw more people saved when I preached on money than we preached about other issues. We haven't had a stewardship campaign since we moved in this auditorium 4 years ago, last August the 20th. I think it probably should. I just haven't taken time and for some reason haven't dealt with that subject very often. So I know this text, give an account of thy stewardship. But he quoted something when he quoted it, literally. If you could have monitored inside of me, I began to shake. We went on and had our meeting, very exciting meeting about the work of Christ. And I kept thinking of that verse, what he's talked about. Then we went to the airport, we boarded a plane, and we came right back home that same day. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I thought about it in the midnight hour this week every day. I thought about it in my office. I thought about it in my car. I shudder when I think of the verse. I shudder when I think of the thought that is found in these verses today. It's not on stewardship as finances. But I want you to see what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 16. And he said unto his disciples, there's a certain rich man which had a steward. That's the key right there, a steward. What is a steward? A steward is one who manages the property, the valuables, or the possessions of another. You recall years ago when I preached on this subject, because the next verse says, give an account of thy stewardship. I remember one Sunday morning years ago, must have been 22, 3 years ago now, I turned to Brother Harold, who now pastors in Kentucky. I pulled out a $1 bill. This happens to be a five. I pulled out a $1 bill. I said, Brother Harold, I want you to become the steward of this $1 bill. You know when a lord, small letter L, the master, whoever is the manager of that money, whoever owns that money, he gives it to another. He has the right to come any time and say, give an account of thy stewardship. How's my money doing? How's my investment doing? I gave that $1 to Brother Harold. I said, Brother Harold, I don't know when, but sometime in the next year, I want you to give an account of this stewardship. I must tell you, I forgot all about it. I never remembered I gave him a dollar bill. I didn't think about it in March, April, May, September, October, November. Never thought of it. And then in January of next year, the sign went up, give an account of that stewardship. I was preaching, and I said, hey, I gave you a dollar last year, unrehearsed. The goal is not to bury the dollar, as this steward did. The goal is to invest it and make money, make profit off of what the steward is responsible for his master. And so I said, I gave you a dollar. And then after I got in, I thought, ooh, man, I'm putting him on the spot. I shouldn't be doing this, but it's too late. Open mouth, insert size 12. I had both of them in my mouth. I said, give an account of your stewardship. Hoping that maybe that $1, he was going to give me two back. He stood and he gave me a $100 bill. I'll never forget it. That's a good steward. I then took that $100 bill that next week and turned it into $1 bills. I gave it out to people in the church. I said, he did so well this year. Here's a dollar. It's my personal money. It's not the church's money. You do with what? And we did that for several years, and people began to invest that money and care for that money and try to grow that money, and people gave an account of thy stewardship. And so if you think, by the way, and that's a good message, but that's not where we're going. That's not how the man quoted the verse to me on Tuesday. But the Bible says a steward is one managing the property, the valuables, and the possessions of another. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had, what's the last three words, class? Wasted his goods. That's not what spoke to my heart, though that can speak to our hearts. How are you doing with the stewardship that God's entrusted to your care? Not just money. Where are you a steward? What stewardship has God put in your hand? How about your marriage? That marriage is not yours, you're a steward. That marriage is to honor God. God's placed that marriage in your hand. How you doing, husband? Sometimes I think if I could get a D minus, I'd be doing well. How you doing, wife? My Bible tells me in Psalm 126, those children are not yours, they're God's. They're an heritage of the Lord. You are a steward. You say, well, I want to send my boy to college and he can become a lawyer and he can make money. Nothing wrong with becoming a lawyer. Something wrong when you want that lawyer for yourself. That child is first God's. God may want that son to be a preacher of the gospel, but I want my son to be a preacher. That child is not yours. You're a steward. We have Brother Thompson right here, our son-in-law, and he has three children. They're our grandchildren. He's a steward of those children. Those kids are not his. He is raising those children for God. God owns those kids. I have a son-in-law back here, Brother Chris, with his wife, our daughter Tabitha. They have three children. They're stewards. Those little three children do not belong to them. They are just managing those children for God. Amen. Our son, Brother Tim, is preaching over the other property this hour. God gave him a little boy and his wife a little boy last year. Brother Tim and Rebecca are just simply managers, stewards. They're taking care of a valuable possession. It's not theirs. It's God's. That child is God's. I'm getting where I'm going. Verse 2, and he called him and said unto them, how is it that I hear this of thee? What did he hear? He heard that he had wasted his goods. He heard that he had not been a good steward. How is it that I hear this of thee? Then my series of messages for 25 years. Give an account of thy stewardship. And here's what the man quoted to me. I want you to see this. I want you to read it with me. Beginning with the word for in the latter part of verse 2. Ready, begin. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Read it again, please. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Read it again, please. For thou mayest be no longer steward. And then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Read this for. Ready, begin. For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. As we were speaking to that man this week, he said, and he's a very wealthy man, he said, I'm a steward. I'm a steward. He's going through cancer treatments right now. He may be watching. God used that man. I'm a pastor. I love being a pastor. My life is being a pastor. That's God's call on my life. But I am one phone call away from losing my stewardship. This week, This heart may stop. This week I may find myself in an ambulance. This week I may find myself rushed to the hospital with a stroke. And this may be the last time I'll ever preach again. And God says, not because of wickedness or sin, God may say, this is your last day to be a steward, Jack. A man was standing yesterday, a 79-year-old man, next to his wife in Tucson, Arizona, a preacher. He undoubtedly had his message ready for today. It must, if he has notes, must have been printed and ready to go. And a 22-year-old boy who shot a congresswoman yesterday and killed a 9-year-old little girl. There was a preacher in the crowd. And the preacher's wife was shot in the leg. She'll live. And last Sunday morning, that 79-year-old man preached his last message. His stewardship is gone. That church will bury their pastor this week. He was shot and killed yesterday. I think sometimes we think that God's going to take our stewardship from us because we're bad people. Here's a man that was a bad person. He was in charge of a man's valuables, possessions of another. High and been entrusted with the people of North Valley Baptist Church. I was reading a book this week. It's an old book written by an old Puritan preacher in 1655. And he said this, preacher, your work and your life should exit together off the stage of life. It's a powerful statement. God has given me a stewardship. I'm a steward of a marriage. I'm a steward of 3 children. I'm a steward of 3 in-laws, children, a daughter-in-law, 2 sons-in-law. I'm a steward. It's not your job to be the father-in-law, it's my job. I'm a steward of 7 grandchildren. I'm a steward of the deacons. I'm a steward of the staff. I'm a steward of my life. I'm a steward of this church. I'm a steward of these teenagers. I'm a steward of these children. But I'm a phone call away from losing it all. I was visiting with a man last year, and he said, Pastor, I received the divorce papers. I said, did not you see it coming? He said, I had no idea. I was visiting with a woman last year, one of many. And by the way, I've heard that same statement many times, and this is only January 9th. In 2011, I've already heard it several times. And a woman said to me, I received divorce papers. I said, did you see it coming? And she said, I did not see it coming at all. She was a mail delivery. He was a mail delivery away from losing the stewardship. If we're not careful, we live our lives so careless. We live our life as if next week I'll still be a husband. Next week I'll still be a wife. Next week I'll still be a parent. Next week I'll still be in the ministry. Next week I got it all planned for next year, next month, 5 years from now. But it may be removed this week. A preacher friend of mine in North Carolina was in his vehicle. He was in his office and he heard sirens and heard all these ambulances and heard the police, and it was just passing the church, and so many people going by with sirens blaring. Before being a preacher, he was a policeman. That preacher got in his vehicle and went down the road to see if maybe I could be a help. But little did he realize, he saw a car he knew. It was his wife's car. When he came on the scene, He saw that his wife was already gone. He lost with one siren. In one moment's time, he lost his stewardship. Not because he was wicked. He was God's man. He lost the joy of being called husband in a moment's time. What about when something's removed from you in a moment's time? What would it be this week if God removed this area from your life and said, no longer can you be a steward? I'm over here and I'm not going to ask you to turn, but I was reading this week over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You recall when Saul, who was the first king over Israel, a goodly looking person, strong, tall, but Saul, brief in his ministry of being king over Israel, at less than 15 years, he welled up with pride. And he began to take upon himself the office of being the priest of the land. And he decided, here's what I'm going to do, and his self-will. And then, of course, he did not obliterate the king of Agag and all the people. And he decided to do his own thing. And God says in 1 Samuel 15, he says it twice in four verses, I have rejected thee from being king. Now he stayed in his position and he cried out, I've sinned. And God says in the next verse, I have still rejected thee. You're no longer king. You'll stay in the position, but you're no longer king. And Saul died on Mount Gilboa with his boys because he lost his stewardship. He lost his stewardship. God says, I've rejected it. I'm taking it from you. Ananias and Sapphira, they were literally stewards of possessions, finances. And God, they lied to God. They lied to the man of God. They lied to the people of God. God says, okay, I've taken your stewardship from you. And they both died and gave up the ghost. Herod lifted himself up with pride because he would not humble himself. God sent worms and he ate his insides and he took the stewardship of being King Herod. There's a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar lifted up himself with pride and God says, all right, stewardship is gone. You're going to be in the fields eating the grass with the animals. And he was. God took the stewardship. Hitler, so powerful, hate those Jews, killed 6 million of them. Such power. But he lost his stewardship. And in a bunker, hiding, he took a gun and blew his brains out. Ceausescu, he decided that he would be a man, hurt the people, harm the people, king. President! And yet when the people revolted, they loaded him. News media covered it so years ago. And loaded and riddled the palace with bullets and killed both he and his wife. And they lay in a pool of blood. There's a man by a name that you'll know. He was at a banquet table. At the banquet table, he stood up, always carry a gun. His daughter was sitting next to her husband, his son-in-law. He looked at the son-in-law and took the gun and killed him and required the family to go on and killed his own son-in-law at the table. He would randomly, as the king, the president, kill whoever he wanted to. He killed thousands of people. But when the U.S. troops found him in a hole, hiding, and brought him out, his people tried him. In December of a few years ago, they hung him and his neck broke and he died. He was removed from his stewardship. To be a king of a land or president of a country is not to use your power to abuse people. What's the stewardship God's put in your life? It says, give an account of thy stewardship. I heard this man say this latter part of the verse. thou mayest no longer be a steward. I want to ask you this and I'll be done. What can remove that stewardship from us? What will it take to remove stewardship in your life and in my life? Christian, husband, father, papa, pastor. What could remove stewardship in my life this week? Where I'd be preaching my last message. Well, one, it's very obvious. Life. Life can remove stewardship. My dear, dear friend, for over three decades now, Dr. Nikolai is down here. I can say his age because he looks so good for 72 years of age. He looks much younger than I do, I'll tell you that right now. Brother Nikolai will never, ever in his life, ever, ever again drive a Sunday school bus. If he wanted to, he could not. Why? Because life says he cannot. In this state, at age 70, you stop driving school buses. Do you remember Dr. Newcomb on our staff? He'd drive that Sunday school bus. An old preacher helped to start the college. I had his funeral a few years ago here, about a year or two ago. Dr. Newcomb, when he turned 70, he rebelled. He said, I still am young. I'm still youthful. I can still drive a bus, but they won't let me. He said, I got to figure out a way around this thing. You know what life does? Life removes us from some areas of stewardship. I have a precious mother and father that tomorrow will listen to this service on the internet. They'll watch it rerun in their home. You know, there was a time that my mother and dad both taught Sunday school. My mother next week to be 87. My dad going to be 88 this year. That window of time, not because they're godless or backslidden, but because of age and because of ability, they at age 78, 87 and 88, at 87 and 88, they can no longer teach a Sunday school class. They read their Bibles every day, individually. They read it together. They pray every day together. But you realize that today they'll never, ever again teach a Sunday school class. Why? God remove the stewardship because of age. That's part of life. If I live long enough, there'll be a day where I'm too old to pastor this church and you'll need a younger man. And that is hundreds of years away, I'm sure. But there'll be a time that age interjects itself into my life and says, you can't be the pastor anymore. You can't keep up. They need someone that can keep up with the ministry because life does that to us. Life allows us to have heart attacks and strokes and aches and pains and medication. It's not because of sin. You may no longer be a steward. It's because of life. Some of you at the prime of your life right now, you could be driving the bus. We need bus drivers right now. We need about another 20 today. You could drive a bus. There's coming a day when you'll not be able to drive a bus and you'll no longer be a steward in that area. You could teach a class. You could sing in the choir. I recall when my dad was in our church for 33 years. He sang in the choir. He was at every practice. He was at every rehearsal. He was here early. But I recall the day when his eyesight got such, and stability was such a situation where he could not get to the choir loft, he sang his last choir song because of life. Because of life. Why do people lose their stewardship? Because of life. What takes away our stewardship? Life. What takes away our stewardship? Sin. I don't ever want to lose my stewardship of being a pastor because of life. But I could live with that if I had to. But it would grieve me if I had to lose my stewardship because of sin. And yet this day in America, There'll be men of God that will have to stand before their church and resign their ministry because of sin. Unless you think I'm throwing rocks at anyone, I'm certainly not, because I've not finished my course yet either. God forbid. I could steal from the offering plate. Never been tempted to do that. Have no idea how they handle all the money here. But I tell you what, sin, when you think you have sin under control, friend, you better beware. Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And better men than me, David being one, had to resign the ministry because he sinned with Bathsheba. That was a blot against his life and against his testimony the rest of his life. Friends, sin can involve lying and stealing and cheating, and that will remove us from our stewardship. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And we can cover our sin. You can cover the fact that there's another woman in your life, sir. You can cover that, and your wife may not know it, but it's going to be exposed. And you can cover the fact, lady, that there's a man in your life and nobody knows about it. You can cover it, but it will reveal itself. And when it does, it's going to hurt a whole heap of people. You can go ahead and cover from your mother and dad the sin of your life and the pornography of your life, ladies and gentlemen in this room today. We can hide it from someone. We can hide drug trafficking and drugs that we're doing. We can hide all that. But let me tell you something. You're not going to hide it a lifetime, and you will always be exposed. One of the great prayers of my life is, God, help me never to do anything to have that lady hear me resign this pulpit in shame. And have to have her live with that. Or my children and their mates. Or have my grandkids say, why isn't Papa pastoring anymore? Or your little children that I see in elementary school, in chapel. Or your high school kids or these college students. That my life brought a blot on their life. Friends, sin removes stewardship. According to the word of God, a man that stands in the pulpit, we saw Wednesday night, must be blameless. Not perfect, but blameless. And I find out as I read the word of God that life can remove stewardship. Sin can remove stewardship. A man that's been my best friend for 50 years. I received word a year and a half ago. I've written him since. He's written me. We've known one another for 50 years. I was his best man, and he was mine. But in one phone call's time, he lost everything. As he was sent to prison, the judge gave his wife a quickie divorce, and 40 years of marriage was out the window. And he lost his children. And he lost his grandkids. In one moment's time, he lost his stewardship. Unless you think I'm criticizing him, he was a better man than I am. Why do we lose our stewardship? Managing the property, the valuables, the possessions of another. Why do we lose it? Because of life, because of sin. And why do we lose it? And I'm done. Because God says, I'm taking it away. Saul, I'm taking it away. Your pride, your arrogancy, your self-will, I'm taking it from you. And God took Saul's position away from him. God did it. And when God removes something, I watch people say, oh, if I could just go back, I would not have done that. Oh, I lost my mate, I lost my children, I lost this, I lost that. Just for a moment's time, You're a phone call away from that, and some will receive the phone call this week. Some in this room will receive the phone call this week. Satan deceives us. He's telling you, no, I don't want my mate anyway. I'll be glad to get rid of my mate. Woo! Freedom. But then you lose your mate. And you realize you've lost my stewardship. Some think my family doesn't need me anyway. They don't like me. They don't believe in me. They don't want me. Go ahead. Remove me. Remove the family from me. Freedom. Let me ask you next Christmas when you're alone how it feels. Let me ask you on Easter how it feels. The ministry. Okay, all right. So I don't teach my Sunday school class anymore. So I don't drive the bus anymore. So I don't pastor the church. You know what? Who cares? You will. Because the devil's deceived you to think that you don't want your class and you don't want the buses and you don't want the ministry. For 35 years, I had crisscrossed this nation preaching on Monday and Tuesdays. May I tell you this? Almost everywhere I go, there's former members across this country. And I've heard it repeatedly. The biggest mistake I made in my life is when I left North Valley Baptist Church. And I'm not saying you cannot leave. I'm just telling you what I've heard repeatedly. I think of a man that said to me, with tears in his eyes coming down his cheeks, he said, I lost everything. I thought I wanted the house. I thought I wanted the possession. I thought I took my family. I took my parents. I put my children. I took everything in part of me. And I took it down here. But it was like Lot who went to Sodom. And I got what I wanted and lost what I had. He said, I'd give it all back up to go back there and live in a small little apartment because I've lost everything now. I've lost my parents. I've lost my wife. I've lost my family. I've lost my church. I have nothing. Friend, you please hear me. You're a steward. You're a steward. A man wrote me from prison. And he said, the worst decision I made in my life. I sat in the Bible college chapel in this college. And I thought it could never happen to me, but I got away from God. And he said, I am in prison today. And I want to tell you something, Pastor. I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. He lost his stewardship. He lost his stewardship. He's watching, so I'm not criticizing him. A dear preacher friend of mine not only lost his ministry, but he lost his wife and she has a new boyfriend. And I talked to him again this week. His heart is broken and my heart's broken. He said, if I could just have my marriage back and have my ministry back and have my family back, I lost my stewardship. Brother Boroff, you were there Tuesday. A man my age, God's seen fit to bless him immensely. He may be watching because he's going through radiation right now, cancer. And he said, this text, my Lord taketh away my stewardship. Thou may no longer be a steward. You're a steward, friend. I'm a steward. I don't want to lose my stewardship. And trust me, you don't either. Our heads are bowed. And our eyes are closed. Our Father, this morning, we have people that are careless with their stewardship and think they want to give it up and give over and run from it. And yet, I know from experience as Laban said, I know it'll be the regret of their life to lose their stewardship. Oh, when that man said that, I thought about losing my stewardship in so many areas. And I pray that we might recognize that you have placed stewardship in our position, in our possession. And I pray that we'd be good stewards. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And how many say, Pastor, if I don't change something in my life, I'm going to lose my stewardship, my marriage, my children, my ministry, something in my life. If I don't change something right now, I'm going to lose stewardship. Pray for me. Pray for me. With our heads bowed, out of respect to one another, would you lift your hand all over the house? Hands are going up. God bless you. Sure. By the way, please, I'm not standing in judgment of you that you're bad, wicked people. Sometimes because of life and what other people do to you, you've lost your stewardship. I understand all that. Friend, all of us have stewardship. Are you doing your best with the steward, managing the property, the valuables and possessions of another? I didn't see it coming. Well, you're going to have to see it coming. Who's here this morning say, Brother Treber, I'm lost. I'm not on my way to heaven. If I died, I would wake up in hell. I know it. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I'll not name you by name. I may not even know it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I need to be saved. I need to be saved. All over this house, lift your hand if you will, please. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Will you stand with me, please? Our Father, you know the condition of each of us today. Some, I think, are careless with their stewardship. They're not reading the Bible to their children, not praying with their children, praying for their children. They're just careless with it. Careless. Some dear mothers are dear ladies, but they're not feeding their children right. They're careless with their stewardship. Mother is responsible for feeding those children properly. Some are not speaking kindly to their children. Some are speaking with disrespect to their parents. And the stewardship is, I'm a child. Help us to get right with thee. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.